Welcome to Combos from the Couch by LifeStance Health, where leading mental health professionals help guide you on your journey to a healthier, more fulfilling life.
Hello, everyone. I'm Nicolette Lianza, and on this episode, I'll be talking with nurse practitioner Margaret Beamer, and she'll be sharing with us her own journey with bipolar disorder. So welcome, Margaret. Great to have you on.
Thank you. I appreciate your time today.
Yes. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I'm a Hoosier. I'm born and raised in Indiana and from a family of five. It's always been a lot of things going on in life just from having multiple people in my life just because they're there. So I have always been in like team situation, like from birth and like playing sports and whatnot. And in that time, I became obsessed with like behavior change and observing other people's behaviors. So I've always grew up looking at what my siblings might be doing different than me and what that resulted for them. And that kind of got me hooked on like observing behavior in the brain, right? If I really think about it, that's how things started for me in mental health. But it took a twist when like I had some of my own experiences. And also, you know, we have like family histories of alcoholism and like emotions not being talked about possibly just because of different generations handling things differently. So at some point, I decided to pursue that further. And that kind of goes further into our conversation about how things that I've learned. At some point, I decided to go be a nurse because I was interested in a bunch of things. And I knew nursing had a bunch of opportunity to learn different things. I also knew that I got bored easily. So I was like, I better pick something that I can change if I need. And that worked out for me. I actually pursued it. I currently work as a psychiatric nurse practitioner. But I actually decided to go to school as a family nurse practitioner first. And I was just like, not for me. And then eventually switched, went into psych because my personal history, some people close to me suggested not to go into psych. But I am thankful that I did because it really feels like I can connect because I know what it's like.
Got you. So please share with us your journey navigating bipolar disorder.
Yeah. So I had my first episode of mania when I was in undergraduate school at Ball State getting my bachelor's in nursing. And it was like super scary, right? Because if you don't know anything about it, what's going on, and you just feel horrible, right? So like in my life, I was like 19 years old at the time. And like for me, it just felt like everything that could go wrong went wrong. I wasn't sleeping. I couldn't think clearly. I was having like delusional thoughts. And at that time, I was working as a resident assistant, which is a lot. Resident assistants are people who live on campus and are like helping other students out. And during that time, someone had tried to attempt suicide. And I was already feeling really bad, not doing that great in school because of all the responsibility that I had chose to take on. And it just put me over. Like my mom was sick, or I think she was diagnosed with hypertension, which now I'm like, whatever, I've all had hypertension, whatever. She had something going on. My grandma was sick. My sister was pregnant. Wow. It just felt like everything was a lot. So it's essentially what had been happening is I couldn't sleep. I was like having delusions that like I was hearing God's voice. But now when I look back, like it was really more like I was having a thought and then I would just do that thought because there was nothing going on in my brain that was able to tamper it because of poorly I was sleeping. And so essentially what ended up happening is a fellow RA like took me to the ER after I couldn't sleep. I literally just could not sleep. Just couldn't. And it was racing thoughts, like psychotic. And like it was close to Easter. So I ended up going to the ER and being admitted. And I just remember it was like one of the scariest feelings because once I finally got to the floor and in the ER, they're like not, they don't really know. Like they don't, when you are out of it, for lack of a better term, it doesn't feel like people are really telling you what's going on. You're just there. So if I don't know what's going to happen, thankfully my family was able to come to the ER. My phone had died, which like nowadays, like if your phone dies, like who are you going to call?
It's your lifeline.
But at that point, like the only number I could remember was my grandma's phone number and she still had a landline. So like They called that and eventually got a hold of one of my other family. So they were able to come and be in the ER with me, which I'm so thankful for, because that's when I finally calmed down a little bit or had some sense of calm. But as I got admitted to the unit, it was like I was so sick that I couldn't write. My body stopped working. I was catatonic for a moment. I literally couldn't move. I could hear everything that was going on, but couldn't move. And there is nothing scarier than feeling like you've lost your mind.
I'm sure.
Especially if you look at in today's society, there is so much emphasis put on what you do and what you can do. To be in a position where you can't is really frightening. Yeah, there's inpatient. They started me on some medicine. I had horrible side effects to that medicine. I think I suffered acute dystonia where my body would just distort and I had no control over it. I was super restless. It was a journey from there on out as far as my family wasn't living in Indiana at that time. They were in the suburbs of Chicago. So like I had to transfer to Illinois to get like outpatient care and I had to withdraw from my program. And I remember going to like the nursing director because like nursing school can be very intense in terms of they don't just let you stop let you back unless you have a valid reason. So I remember going to like the dean of nursing, like with the like muscle spasms and stuff, and just being like, look, I need a semester off.
Like physically they saw like what you were trying to navigate there. Wow.
It was a journey from like that initial experience. And honestly, I don't even remember anyone telling me that I was diagnosed with bipolar.
Oh, really? Okay. So what were you thinking was going on for you?
I mean, I just thought, I literally thought I had lost my mind.
Okay.
And it was literally just a period of once I got transitioned to intense outpatient, there was more and more talk about what my diagnosis was.
Okay.
But I remember in the acute inpatient setting, I don't remember speaking to doctors.
And this could bet that they might have not shared it with you, honestly.
It's possible. I never remember getting a workup. I just remember getting medicine.
Okay.
And I don't remember anyone telling me about what the medicine was for.
I think this experience you're sharing, probably many of our listeners who's maybe had to navigate something similar can maybe relate to this. It's just awful. That really shows like a really huge hole in our services we provide when people are admitted inpatient there. And so you saw it firsthand. For sure.
Because if someone came in for a heart attack, like maybe you wouldn't tell them what medicine they're getting to save their life. The attendings are going to round and tell you what happened.
Exactly. And I don't know if that's always the case if it's for mental health. So, my gosh. Okay. So here you are. You're at the hospital. You're taking medications.
Yeah.
Where does it go from there for you?
Yeah. So I transitioned to outpatient care in Illinois. And then I had a period of work just like feeling lost. I know when I transitioned to outpatient care, I know I end up going back to school, but I know at some point I stopped medicine because essentially I had been sick with an upper respiratory infection or something else going on. And I had been prescribed prednisone. And prednisone is a steroid that helps reduce inflammation, but it also can cause all kinds of And so my mom is a nurse and she was like, up and down, you don't have bipolar disorder. You just had a really bad reaction to prednisone. So it was like at 19, I'm not blaming this on my mother. I'm just saying I didn't know what I didn't know. And I just felt miserable and horrible. And I didn't really know what happened. But so then I journeyed back to school and then I had some like significant issues with relationship with myself, right? So then in turn, that also impacts our relationship with others, right?
Mm-hmm.
I had a really hard time with romantic partners for most of teen to like until 5 years ago. Quite frankly, to talk about like intimate partner violence and abuse and stuff, definitely happened. So like when I was lost and went back to school, didn't even really know who I was. Of course, you're going to attract people who are like,
unfortunately,
what is it? Misery loves company. Like that definitely applies. So at one point I ended up getting pregnant by one of these said partners that I had no business being with. Okay. And when I got pregnant, it was like, okay, like I just have to sit back and really look at what I need. And after I delivered my child, I actually had 3 manic episodes in less than 6 months.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah. So that was like kind of nail on the coffin. Mm-hmm. Okay, this is something, right? And during that time, I had to change. Like, I was still in nursing school, and I actually was taking psych nursing when I was pregnant. And I just found it really interesting that, yeah, I heard about postpartum. Yeah. Nothing about bipolar.
That there could be truly a postpartum bipolar episode or yes. episodes in your case, it sounds like.
Yes. And I actually shared with my nursing professor at the time that it was something that I had dealt with before. I think this memory is something that gets twisted, especially mm-hmm. when trauma is involved. So I'm right. not blaming. Anyway, I'm just saying it's no one told.
Right.
All right? Nope. And so, yeah, so that was also a super difficult time. And it's just,
let me say this, Margaret, as you're sharing this story, you're here, you've made it through.
Yeah.
You're able to navigate through. Here you are standing again, right?
Yeah.
But how overwhelming it is as you reflect back on it, and how it wasn't easy. You made it through and here you are. Yeah. You're successful, but it wasn't easy as you're battling yourself and battling the war.
This happened like 14 years ago. My last episode happened 14 years ago. Yeah. Yeah, but I like the point you brought up as far as this happened a long time ago and I don't live there anymore. Mm-hmm. Right? I don't. And right. I don't. It's really painful to talk about just because it's hard to go back into those spaces yeah. and relive them. Because I feel like I have come so far. However, though, it's a good awareness to create for ourselves the fact that pain is so important to address. Because if we don't ever address it, it's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Very true. The only way out is through is often what I will share with some people, right? It's awful to have to go through the pain. But I think a lot of times people spend a lot of time avoiding the pain, wanting to not feel it. So I think that's where people turn to the bottle or harder drugs or whatever to not have to feel it.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And it is like so hard and completely disruptive, right? Because of what happens to you, you feel ostracized.
Yeah.
I think people that know when they're struggling, like, these things don't feel right. I feel like an oddball. But who do I talk to about then? Like, how do I even solve these things? Because I'm just struggling. I don't know where to go. So thankfully, I have had a great support system. I was able to at least have a soft landing space to figure it out.
That's good. Very important. Not everyone has that. So it sounds like you're very grateful that you had that.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Because like, I definitely want to have made it through school and been able to learn more and then advocate for myself. Right. So that's where I like try to partner with patients as far as let's learn about your brain. Let's talk about this as something that has happened to your brain or something right. that is wrong with your brain, and that this is not something that's inherently wrong with you.
Separating it out, it's not something wrong with you.
So yeah. In my time struggling, I've learned that I've just really had to be super diligent about knowing what I want and not mm-hmm. compromising on it.
Yeah, yeah.
So in my life, I felt like I was compromising on my self-care. Then I check in with myself and try to see what I can do to manage that.
Love that. Right? Good for you.
Right? If it's a job, if it's a relationship,
yeah.
it's a stressor, is there something that I can do about that stressor to eliminate it from my life? Because okay. my peace is not worth it.
Good. Good. Right? It's not worth your mental health.
No. Yeah. So like protecting your peace at all costs. Mm-hmm. That might be maybe too far.
No, but it's true, though. I don't think people do that enough, or they don't feel like they deserve to preserve their peace or whatever. Or some don't deserve, may not even feel they deserve peace. But you're putting that message out there at all costs. Preserve your peace, that inner peace.
Yep.
Definitely.
Yes, because if you don't, there are consequences. And
yes.
that consequence is way too steep to pay.
Yeah, too.
It's
yeah. All these experiences that you just shared, and my heart is like just full, so full for you. And again, I appreciate you sharing this. And I think a lot of our listeners are going to be relating to some of your experiences. But how has your own experiences with bipolar disorder made you even more an astute nurse practitioner?
Yeah. So I think that it just created a huge sense of humbleness for me to be able to connect with others, because mm-hmm. I know what it's like to be in the other seat and feel like someone didn't listen to me, or that they just pushed a pill at me and sent me on my way.
Mm-hmm.
Our current medical model sucks. It's really bad. No one, I think all of us can agree that, are we thankful we have care? Yeah. Is it really bad? in both, in a lot of situations, is it lacking? Yes. So like essentially what I attempt to do or try to do is work on really getting someone's story and understanding like all the things that have brought them to this point and partnering with them on figuring out where they are, their level of insight into where they are, and what are the best steps for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we look at the human experience, it's super dynamic, right? So are there some point where we do need those heavier hitting medicines to stabilize you? Maybe we do, right? But maybe we don't. And what do you have access to? What can you do for yourself? And what do you know about your own brain?
Mm-hmm.
What do you know about trauma? Like sometimes like we can go through trauma and be unaware that we went through trauma.
Yeah, very true.
Especially depending on like how you grew up. Did someone talk to you about these things? Did you have a space to talk about these things? Did you not? So really like getting into the weeds, for lack of a better term, of all the things that might be influencing that individual, because they all matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if we do the deep diving, maybe you don't need medicine. Maybe you need something else.
So what are some things you emphasize with your own clients as they journey through their own path to wellness?
Yeah. So I really think that particularly in mental health, like becoming well, it takes a huge commitment to like self-discovery. As far as going into your relationship with yourself and figuring out how like maybe you are standing in the way of your own wellness.
Because kind of learning to get out of your own way. I don't think people sometimes realize they might be standing in their own way to their wellness, just like you said. So recognizing how to get out of your own way. I love that.
Which I mean, there is a piece of that. There also is like a neurochemical component of things, right?
Mm-hmm.
That
good point. Yeah.
Very but true. Don't want to create like shame in the fact that, oh, I should be able to manage these things. It's like maybe you can and maybe you can't, but if you don't spend time thinking about like, how do I influence what is happening with me? Or is there an influence that I have on what's happening with me? Then we're missing part of a big component of it. And then I think too, like looking at like standard American diet and how like there's a lot of research that's not good for it.
Right.
So it's like, it's not good for our brain. Like you can't put water in your car and expect that it's going to go anywhere.
Very true.
And nutrition is a growing science. It's complex. Like there's a whole field called nutrigenomics as far as how everyone responds to food differently. So it's like hard to give people information about what to do, but I think we know what not to do. And then just looking at every area, are you getting physical activity? Are you taking time aside for yourself? It's very easy to get distracted by all our day-to-day things. You're like, I need to make this, I need to do that. But it's like really just sitting and prioritizing your own journey and granting yourself space to have feelings and sit in them from time to time so that you know where to go.
Great advice and guidance there. Any other takeaways you'd like to share?
Yeah, no. And I also just really spend time trying to identify like moments and sources of pain with people and looking at pain as like a messenger instead of something to get rid of. Because pain is a really important signal from our nervous system that, hey, like there's something going on and we're not handling.
And this could be physical pain or emotional pain. I think that could go either way.
Yeah. Yeah. Because in our current society, we try to spend a lot of time like getting rid of pain.
Yes.
And it's just not always a great way to manage it because it's going to come back.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it'll probably come back worse.
Yes. Definitely.
And with its friends.
His friend. I just say a lot of times with people trying to avoid their own emotional pain, that does still come through the body in some way where it can't come out even in physical pain. I don't think people recognize really how that can even play out and manifest as well. But you're right. It's the very thing that we don't want to do. We want to avoid the pain, but really the way through it is sitting with the pain to navigate through it.
Yeah. If you're at war with yourself, the only thing you can do is stop it and sit in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or avoid it, right? Like you can, there is other options, but if you want to get better, like you have to commit. You have to commit to just being willing to open those doors that have those dark things in them that you don't want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Because humans are duplicitous. We all have a duplicitous nature in terms of there's things that we don't like about ourselves and that we don't want to talk about. But if we don't talk about those things, then they fester.
Yeah, that they do. My gosh. Margaret, thank you. This was an amazing conversation for me and really listening to you share your story and how, as I'm listening to your story, I feel like a lot of my own work with my clients, I've heard aspects of your story, even what they've shared. And so you sharing your story, I think there's so many people out there going to be like, my gosh, that wasn't my exact experience, but I can relate to a lot of aspects of that, either with bipolar disorder or the aspects of maybe they had to be hospitalized or maybe they were also put in handcuffs, things like that. So it's so important that you shared this story with us. And I so much appreciate you for it.
Thank you. I really hope that this does help increase awareness, get rid of stigma, right? And the main thing that I want people to do, don't ever give up on yourself.
Yeah. Great words to end by. Don't ever give up on yourself. And I'm glad you didn't, Margaret. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd also like to thank the team behind the podcast, Jason Caden, Joanna Wooden, and Chris Kelman. Thank you, everyone, for listening to Canvas from the Couch. Take care.